Down deep in my soul,
down deep in my soul,
a melody rings,
a melody rings.
I'm winging my way,
I'm winging back, my way back home.
A sinner is saved,
a sinner is saved.
My spirit now sings,
my spirit now sings.
I'm winging my way,
I'm winging
back,
my way back home.
I'm climbing each day,
every day,
since Jesus is mine,
truly mine.
I travel the road,
narrow road,
to glory divine,
to glory divine.
The way is called straight, that enters the gate,
that enters the gate.
I'm winging my way,
I'm winging
back,
my way back home.
I'll never turn back,
I'll never turn back.
Two wages of sin,
two wages of sin.
I'm winging my way,
I'm winging
back,
my way back home.
The night was so dark,
the night was so dark.
Here
Jesus came in,
I'm winging my way,
I'm winging
back,
my way back home.
I'm climbing each day,
every day,
since Jesus is mine,
truly mine.
I travel the road,
narrow road,
to glory divine,
to glory divine.
The way is called straight,
the way is called straight.
That enters the gate,
that enters the gate.
I'm winging my way,
I'm winging
back,
my way back home.
A wonderful time,
a wonderful time.
Waiting ahead,
is waiting ahead.
I'm winging my way,
I'm winging
back,
my way back home.
I mean to be there,
I mean to be there.
From sin I have fled,
from sin I have fled.
I'm winging my way,
I'm winging
back,
my way back home.
Each day,
every day,
since Jesus is mine,
truly mine.
I travel the road,
narrow road,
to glory divine,
to glory divine.
The way is called straight,
the way is called straight.
That enters the gate,
that enters the gate.
I'm winging my way,
I'm winging
back,
my way back home.
I believe, help thou my unbelief. I take the finite risk of trusting as a child. I believe, help thou my unbelief. I walk into the unknown, trusting all the while. I long so much to feel the warmth that others seem to know. But should I never feel a thing, I claim him even so. I believe, help thou my walk into the unknown, trusting all the while. I walk into the unknown, trusting all the while.
see my buddy Bruce over here in the corner. I spotted him right away this morning. I think I saw Sarah, too. Is that you, Sarah? Yeah. Let's see here, if I can get to the right page. Make sure I'm at the right. That was some good singing, fellas. I don't know. George, he feels the music. I had to smile that one. Did you see him that one time? He got to the end of his little phrase. He was singing. And he went. How many saw that? Yeah, I did too. Charles just stands there and it just flows out. That first tenor. I tell you, that was not bad. But probably evening would have been a little bit easier, wouldn't it? That voice tuned in a little bit. And that old man with that bass, that was good. Wow. I believe, help thou my unbelief. You know, as we think about vision developed, I'm thinking about fear. And I'm not really going to talk about that right now, but this is a thought that came to me. Fear immobilizes us. Fear paralyzes us. But you know what? When you fear God and God only, you become fearless. Because God fears no one and nobody. And so when you fear God and Him only, you're going to be able to move and walk with God. Even if that means, sometimes it means small things. Sometimes it means pretty scary things. And I know a scary thing for me would be what, is it Annie is doing at the CAM base right now? Are you Annie? Would you stand up, Annie? She's 18 years old. Thank you, Annie. Are you the head cook? That amazes me. 18, cooking at a Christian Aid Ministries base with her friend. I don't see her right now, but she's probably here someplace. Anyway, it's that's awesome. Were you a little fearful about that, Ann? She looked pretty confident when she talked with me, but God calls us to amazing adventures, amazing journeys, and are we going to have the courage to walk there? And you know, I think as we read His Word, He does begin this work of transformation, and we really end up, remember I said, we're not in charge of forming our own spiritual personalities, but God does that, right? So what you become is not really because you've decided to become that. You know, when I look at my life and I think, okay, 10 years ago, the way I thought is different than the way I think today. And I didn't decide, you know what, in 10 years, this is what I'm going to believe. But I became what I was thinking. I mean, God changed me, right? Isn't that what we want to happen? Is that God changes us into what He wants us to become. I'm going to have just a little bit of a review here for what we've discussed. And this particular question I'm going to address to Bruce. Bruce, what was walking in the Garden of Eden? All right, the voice of God. Great, Bruce. What was Jesus before His manifestation? Okay. We picture Him as a baby, right? And then growing up and walking around, doing miracles, speaking to the people. But what was He before this? He was God, of course, right? But what did we say He was? The Word. Thank you. How did God create? Speaking. What is the seed as stated in Mark 4? What is the seed as stated in Mark 4? The seed is the Word. But y'all are doing good. It's nice to have some help, isn't it? In a natural birth, it takes two, right? It takes a mom and a dad. In a spiritual birth, we said, and we didn't discuss this a lot, but in a spiritual birth, it takes two. What does it take in a spiritual birth? John 3, and we didn't discuss this scripture at all, but it's an amazing scripture. But when Jesus was there with, I don't know how many of you can speak Dutch. Can you speak, not too many. Speak Dutch? No? A few? You know, I know from my background, my children don't speak it, but I do, I can understand some, and I can speak some of it, although I can't, you kind of mi audi good expressa in it. And I don't think in Dutch, okay? And I remember I was talking to a guy from Holmes County one time, and they speak a lot of Dutch here, and I was trying to talk with him, and he did some work for me, so I was trying to tell him something in Dutch. And he said, Ronnie Manet Kanjmushnet, for those of you who can understand it. But anyway, the Nacht Nikki, that's what I call him, Nicodemus. He always came at night, and any reference to coming to, it's always Nicodemus, and it mentions that he came at night. So I just call him Nacht Night Nikki. Okay, so he comes at night, but he comes. Okay, that's something you can say about him. Are we coming? But anyway, Jesus told him, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's pretty important, right? If we can't enter the kingdom of God without water and the Spirit, we better know what that means, right? In fact, the other day, I was thinking about this scripture, and I walked and I drove past our BP station at the Quaker City exit. And by the way, if you go on Interstate 70 past Quaker City, think about us. We're not far away. In fact, stop in. But there was a Schwarzentruber Amish. I don't know if you know who the Schwarzentruber Amish are, but they're Amish who really are fairly strict. They even on their buggies, they don't have lights. They have lanterns with the oil, with the kerosene or whatever it is, kerosene, I think, in their lights on these buggies. So they're not allowed to have batteries and things like that. So anyway, Eli Hirschberger was there. And so I stopped in. I said, he was selling baskets. I said, Eli, in the Heilige Schrift, that's what I like to call them, in the Holy Scriptures, there's a verse that says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he can't enter into the kingdom of God. He knew that verse. He's an older man. Just an interesting fellow. I love his family. He has a good spirit. And he wanted to talk about it. It kind of surprised me. And I said, Eli, we the Heilige Geist, the Holy Spirit, we know what that is. But what is the water? Now, from a Schwarzentruber Amish, I was really curious to see what he would say. Now, if I would ask you, what is the water? What would you say? I find it pretty interesting that a lot of people don't really know. In fact, I've asked some of our beachy ministers, and I'm sure that your ministers would know. But I asked one of our beachy ministers, and he did not know. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. This is so important to get to the kingdom of heaven that except we're born of this and this, we're not going to make it, and we don't know. Now, it sounds like I know, doesn't it? And I know that's pretty, this is what I've arrived at, okay? I'm still willing to learn. I'm 46. I'm almost past that stage, okay? Willing to learn. No. Thank you for encouraging. I mean, that's why I like to be around young people, because you're so eager to learn. And I want to maintain that spirit. But if I would ask you that, what is the water, what would you say? Well, I'm just trying to think of a scripture. Ephesians 5 talks about the washing of water by the word. Jesus also said in John, now ye are clean. That sounds like water, doesn't it? Clean, ladies, you know something about cleaning? What do you use for cleaning? Water, right? Now you are clean through the what? Say it. Word. That's right. I believe that what Jesus was telling, and Jesus talked in these parables so that people who really didn't want to know, they said, water. You mean I got to be baptized? Well, Jesus talked in these ways that if you're really seeking, if you're really reading, maybe you'll know some of these things. Okay, so, and the Spirit needs to reveal them to us. But I believe, this is what I believe, that the Word and the Spirit's job is to reveal the Word to us. He will guide us into all truth. And one of my friends says it's walking the windy path. It's where the Spirit blows. That's where we need to walk, right? So when we're in the Scriptures, that's where the Spirit blows. So water, Word, Spirit. These two coming together, and new birth happens. Just as physical birth happens. Dad, Mom, Spirit, physical birth. Word, Spirit. Spiritual birth. Did I say that all right? Getting kind of confused here. Okay. So, anyway. By the way, here's some interesting verses. 1 Peter 1:21, being born again. This is what it says. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. And I'm quoting from the King James because this is what I memorized. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. And then this says, does anybody know what it says? By the Word of God. Pretty clear. I think it's in James 1:18 it says, of his own will begat he us with what? The word of truth. Ephesians 1 verse 20 says, and receive with meekness, is it 21, 21b, and receive with meekness what? Come on, guys. Bruce, help me out. And receive with meekness the... I'm sorry. Who was that back there? I think it was right. The engrafted word, the implanted word, which is able to do what, ladies? Save your souls. That's right. So anyway, that's how we arrive at this, and I don't want to spend too much time on that. But you know what? We're going to do a little bit of a. I like your door prizes, and I have a door prize too. I'm going to give away a Bible this morning. I love giving away Bibles. In fact. When I go to a bookstore, I will buy Bibles. In fact, we have a bookstore close to us. I went in there here about a year ago, and I bought, I don't know what, $150 worth, $200 worth of Bibles just to give away. It's my favorite thing to give away is the Bible. And so I'm going to give you a Bible this morning. I'll try to get rid of one of these. This is the female one, okay? This is the cool male one, okay? It's pretty cool, guys. I said this says... make God's word your traveling companion. Easily carry the Bible. Oh, well, yeah. So I can get this at the right distance. It's crazy. Keep God's word within reach no matter where you are. Express your personal style with a fashion-forward cover. There you go. All right. Pretty neat. And the way we're going to do this, the way we're going to decide who gets these Bibles, it's pretty simple. And I think this is what I'm going to do. I've got some references down here. I'm going to have you all stand. Just stay seated right now. I'm going to have you all stand, and then I'm going to say a verse, okay? And all you need to do is give me the book, and just think it. Think what book of the Bible that verse is in. Is it in Acts? Is it in Genesis? Is it in Revelations or whatever it is? And if you think the correct book, forget the chapter verse, okay? Maybe you'll know that. But you don't have to worry about that. If you think the correct book, and when I say the name of the book, you stay standing. If you thought the incorrect book, then you have a seat, okay? The last person to stay standing gets the Bible. Now, Sam and I were talking about it, and it seems like the first person to go down should get the Bible. But the Bible does say, and Sam and I discussed this scripture, to him that hath, more shall be given, okay? So we want to try to stay scriptural here this morning. And so everybody, any questions about that? All right. So if you would, and by the way, if you go down on an easy verse like the first one I say, don't worry about it, okay? Because I recognize that we get these mental blocks, okay? So don't worry about it, and I can guarantee you that when you go down, there's going to be about 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 others that are going to go down with you, because I've done this on a number of occasions, okay? So if you would all stand. All right, the first one is, this is the first one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Who can tell me where that verse is found? John. And we actually had the chapter in reference. Did anybody go down on that one? I hope not. Okay, I'm not looking. Okay. All right. Good. You're doing really good. Here we go. Here's the next one. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And that is found in one book, what book of the Bible?
Psalms.
You know what? I do appreciate some of you guys taking a seat because I don't have enough Bibles for all of you. Okay. All right. We still have a few standing here. Let's go for the next one. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Are you ready? Where's that found? Matthew. I'd be very curious to see what you thought it was. All right. Here's another one. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Okay, you all have something in mind? Thinking? But ye shall be... Where is it found? Thank you. Acts. Looks like we're going to have boys against girls here pretty soon. All right. Here we go. Here's another good verse. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Are you thinking? But the word of God is quick and powerful. All right, who has that one?
Peter.
It's Hebrews. All right. One, two, there's three fellas and there are three girls. Wow. Okay. Here's another one. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped with blood. And his name was called the Word of God.
Revelation.
Donna, you represent the ladies. Here's one that's pretty simple. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that because, like I said, you get these mental blocks. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive. Okay, someone? First John. Congratulations, sir. Give him a hand. What's your name? What's your name? Laverne. Laverne. Laverne Martin. Where are you from, Laverne? Right here? Okay. Does he need the Bible? Sure you do. We all do. God bless you. Congratulations, Laverne. Boy, girls, this was a neat Bible. It actually has a place to journal in beside. If you want to pay me $10 afterwards, I'll give it to you. All right. Well, that's pretty awesome. I tell you what, I have another verse that if anybody answers this verse, anybody can tell me what book of the Bible this is, I'll give this Bible to you. And here's the verse. At Par Bar westward, for at the causeway and to at Par Bar. No.
Numbers.
No. Want me to quote that verse again? Nope. At Par Bar westward, for at the causeway and to at Par Bar. Let's have about two more tries. I'm sorry? Malachi? No. Girls, you might as well guess. One more try. Ephesians. That was good. No? First Chronicles. First Chronicles. And when they were dividing up the land with the children of Israel, First Chronicles 26, I think you'll find that that particular passage here. But it's kind of a fun verse to throw out at people sometimes. Memorize that one. At Par Bar westward, four at the causeway and two at Par Bar. And they won't think you're quoting from the Bible, actually. Okay. I have a poem that I'd like to read that was written by one of my students at CBS in 05. Some of you may know her father's name is, the fellow that does the music things. Have you... What's his name? Miller. Harold Dean Miller. Thank you. Harold Dean Miller's daughter, Ilana. And as she titled this, after one of our discussions, because we really talked about the Word of God a lot, and we talked about how that the Word of God actually moves us. And once God begins that work in us, something begins to happen, and it actually moves us to action. Now, I'm reminded of that. Remember the widow whose son died, the widow of Nain, and they're carrying him on this, I guess it must have been an open bier or casket. I don't know. Was it open or not? But Jesus walks over and touches it and says, young man, arise. And this guy sits up. What's the first thing he does when he sits up? He starts to speak. And you know what? I think as we read God's word and life begins to happen, we are going to start speaking. A sign of life is that we speak, right? That's one of the signs of life. And so this guy sat up and started talking. Wouldn't that be weird? I mean, the guy's dead, laying in the casket, boom, and he just starts talking. Maybe he's talking about heaven, what he saw. I have no idea what he's talking about. But he sat up and spoke. When we're brought to life by God's word, the same thing's going to happen. We're going to start to speak. But this is what Ilana wrote, Heartburn After Class. That's what she titled it. And it's actually in relation to Mark 4 in our discussion yesterday. Oh God, Father, my heart burns within me. Though my eyes are nearly dry, my heart weeps within me. Oh God, Father, the power of your word is so astounding and so simple. How our busy hands and frantic minds would deign to lofty explanations find, in eloquence inquire, in reason we aspire to delve for worlds of knowledge undiscovered and realms of faith which round us hover. When... Yea, behold thy word, quickening, flashing, flaming sword for all the world to hear, is but a seed. A seed that falls upon the fertile soil of our hearts. Or is it stones and thorns and wayside? And there by quickening breath of spirit takes root and grows. Ever-changing stones into softness, thorns into passion, wayside into faith. Life seed, spirit breathed, the quickening, flashing, flaming sword, the Word of God. That's a pretty powerful poem, isn't it? She was an inspiration. Anyway, I'd like to read one letter from one of my students there that particular year. And I'd also like to read I just read parts of it. And another letter from a girl who picked up one of the schedules that maybe perhaps some of you have picked up And by the way, I do have more. I forgot to bring them in here. If somebody does want one, I can still give you those. So the first one is written by Jessica. In the past, there were things that I wanted to change about my Christian life. I didn't really have a hunger for the Word, and I wanted to, but I sort of had things backwards. By the way, on this in this class that I taught, one of the requirements was that they would read the Bible through. This was a class requirement in 4 months once they left CBS. And also, they would need to write a letter back to me and tell me what their experience was. So this is in response to that assignment, and so she's writing this letter back to me. In the past, there were things that I wanted to change about my Christian life. I didn't really have a hunger for the Word, and I wanted to, but I sort of had things backwards because I thought if I'd get closer to God, then I would have a hunger for the Word, right? And that's the way we think, right? If I get close to God, okay. Completely turned around, she says. Plus, being a Christian was really not very exciting. I don't know if I would have admitted it or even knew it then, but looking back now, it was rather boring. I didn't want to settle for ordinary Christianity. I wanted my faith to be life-changing and impact other people's lives too. When I went to Bible school, I was praying that I would find the answer to having an exciting, vibrant, life-changing relationship with God. And the only answer I got was read the Word over and over and over again. I wasn't really impressed at first. Sounded way too simple. It is simple. She has a smiley face. But you were so sure it would just happen. And I couldn't help but get excited about it too. I'm still excited about it. So powerful and so simple. I don't really know how to tell you how my life has changed. And I like this. Because it hasn't been anything very dynamic. Just steady growth, I guess. It just happens. I could sing, I could dance, I could do cartwheels. It's a lot easier to just talk to God. I guess I know him better. And I don't know quite how to describe it, but I feel like I know where I stand on things like I hadn't before. Before she left, Krista was at my house one evening and we were talking about reading the Word. I pointed out that you were right when you said reading it would make evangelists out of us, would make evangelists out of us. And then at the same time, we said, it's so simple. I like this, what she says here. I used to think evangelism was something you plan to do. And I don't anymore. I think it's a way of life. One of my coworkers who knew I was reading the Bible through in 4 months asked me the other day when I thought what I thought about it. I told him nothing very dynamic happened, but that it's changed my view of the Bible, strengthened my faith, and told him he should try it. He said, well, if you're so busy reading the Bible, then you don't have time to meditate on it. Because the Bible does say we should meditate on it. Huh, I hadn't thought about that one. And then later I was thinking about it, and it came to me that if that's what you read, that's what you think about, and you'll be meditating without even trying, it was a sing, dance, do, cartwheels moment. Because we try to meditate and to consist because me trying to meditate used to consist of trying to make the Bible mean something to me. Didn't work so great. I don't need to make it apply. It just does. I've been finished with the 4 months for a while now and forgot about writing this letter. And after I remembered, it took a while to get to it. Okay, now I'm on the second 4 months, and I think it's even more exciting the second time around. So I found what it was that would make my relationship with God come alive. And I can't believe I was missing it. I love how the answer to everything is read the Word. Sometimes in church, I can't hardly stay sitting because hearing things that used to make me feel like I needed to be a better Christian doesn't frustrate me anymore. All I need to do is read and read and let the Spirit lead. I didn't realize how much emphasis I was placing on myself until I wasn't doing it anymore. How do you like that, Bruce? Pretty good letter, isn't it? You going to write me a letter? I'm going to get your address. I'm going to give you mine. Here's another one. This is a lady named Lois. I had a habit of letting my mind wander while I was reading my usual chapter a day, and I knew if I take on this schedule, this 4 months plan, I would have no time to let my mind wander. So now when I opened my Bible, I made a conscious effort to figure out how the chapters tie together and to stay concentrated on what I am reading. It changed my whole outlook on God's Word. Since I was reading more than one chapter each day now, it was much easier to remember the stories or incidents or kings or laws or whatever I had read only a few days before and how they all tied in with today's readings. It was amazing how much better I was able to grasp the whole picture. I noticed the emphasis God put on people's hearts and how that affected the lifestyles they chose to lead. And I noticed that God is a very detailed God and He cares about the small details of life. My love for God and His Word has increased tremendously since I have read through it twice in 8 months' time. I am halfway through reading it the third time, and by the end of April, I hope to have read it through it three times in 1 year. I am remembering things that stood out to me 4 months earlier when I read over the same portion, and it inspires me. And I like this paragraph. It has become a joy to me to read the Bible, and no longer, get this, am I embarrassed to take my Bible with me on the airplane or in the doctor's office to read? My whole perspective has changed, and I don't care if people wonder why I take my Bible along to read it as pleasure reading. It has become my reason for living, and my life has been enriched by it. So take the plunge, but not without commitment. Don't just try it. Decide to do it and stick to it. Anyway, that's Lois's assessment. So maybe those letters can encourage you just a little bit to get started. I'm gonna share a couple scriptures here that, as I think about this developing in our hearts and change happening, I'm gonna take you to a. How much time do we? We're about ready to shut this down, aren't we? Yeah. Let's just in Isaiah 61. I think we're just gonna. If you look at Isaiah 61. I love this passage of scripture here. This passage, and I think we'll read, I don't know how much should we read. Bruce, would you come up here and read this for us, please? What translation do you have, Bruce? Come on up here, read it. Read it to us in the NIV, if you would, please. Why don't you read if I can find it here. One through six.
In NIV?
Yeah, in the NIV. Why don't you stand up here in front of the mic here?
All right.
Here we go.
The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast.
Amen. Thank you, Bruce. I think that's what Bruce is going to become. You know, that's what we all need to become. It's an amazing passage of scripture. It was prophesied about Jesus. He's going to bind up the brokenhearted. He's going to set the captives free. There's going to be liberty for the captives. And He's going to build the waste places. Didn't everyone say, Bruce? Build up these wastes. You're going to be called the planting of the Lord. Can you imagine the impact that Jesus, it was prophesied that Jesus would have, right? And it did. It happened. I mean, He just influenced. He impacted people. And then we go to Luke 4, and there Jesus, he's in the synagogue, and He picks up the Isaiah. We read the account in Luke 4, and He reads this scripture to them, this very scripture that Bruce read to us. And He says, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. First of all, it says the people were wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of His mouth. And then He said, this day is fulfilled. Wow. They got upset. He went and tried to throw him down. But you know what? It was prophesied of Jesus. It was reiterated by Jesus. But then Jesus, and I love this, gives it to the church. And he gives it to you and me. And if you'll open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to read We're going to start in 13. We're going to read verse 13 to 19. And in verse 13 it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter, I love this revelation he had, and answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Okay, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And in the past, this is a wonderful scripture. And like I said, Jesus, the prophecy in Isaiah 61, Jesus said it is accomplished in Luke 4. And then I believe, this is my belief, that Jesus has now given it to the church. And I know I've heard this explained before, that maybe it does imply some of this where we have church authority. I always struggle with it because if we can just arbitrarily decide, and I guess maybe arbitrarily is not a good word, but if this church decides they can do this, does that mean God's going to say, yep, pop, it's approved? Or this church decides you can't drive an automobile, pop, it's approved. I always kind of struggle with that concept, and I don't know if you do or not. But I think that this ties in so well with the scriptures that we read, because Jesus' mission was to bind up the brokenhearted. It was to loose the captives. And I'm thinking, okay, Jesus said, I fulfilled it. He gives it right here, the same wording. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. When we share with people, we're reading the word, we're being transformed by the word. We were dead, now we're alive, and we're speaking these life-saving, revealed words of God that God has shared with us, and we share it with somebody, and they find life. They're wounded, they're bruised, and we come and bind up their bruises. And as we bind up their bruises, Jesus says, I will also bind them. They'll find healing. And we set the captives free. Someone's in bondage. And the church, you who are reading God's word, you set them free because of what you're sharing, because they're reading the Bible. And when we do that, the gates of hell are going to tremble, because you are going to make inroads into the kingdom of God, and we will do damage to the kingdom of darkness. I don't know. That's what it means to me. You might be amazed at the little things that can happen, the little things you need to do. It might be big things, but it might be little things. And I'm going to close with this letter. It's not a letter, it's a story. One day when I was a freshman in high school, I saw a kid from my class was walking home from school. His name was Kyle. It looked like he was carrying all of his books. I thought to myself, why would anyone bring home all his books on a Friday? He must really be a nerd. I had quite a weekend planned, parties and a football game with my friend tomorrow afternoon, so I shrugged my shoulders and went on. As I was walking, I saw a bunch of kids running toward him. They ran at him. knocking all his books out of his arms and tripping him so he landed in the dirt. His glasses went flying, and I saw them land in the grass about 10 feet from him. He looked up, and I saw this terrible sadness in his eyes. My heart went out to him, so I jogged over to him as he crawled around looking for his glasses, and I saw a tear in his eye. As I handed him his glasses, I said, "Those guys are jerks. They really should get lives." He looked at me and said, "Hey, thanks." There was a big smile on his face. It was one of those smiles that showed real gratitude. I helped him pick up his books and asked him where he lived, and it turned out he lived near me. So I asked him why I had never met him before. He said he had gone to private school before now. I had never hung out with a private school kid before. We talked all the way home, and I carried his books. He turned out to be a pretty cool kid. I asked him if he wanted to play football on Saturday with me and my friends. He said yes. We hung out all weekend, and the more I got to know Kyle, the more I liked him. And my friends thought the same of him. Monday morning came, and there was Kyle, with a huge stack of books again. I stopped at him and said, "Boy, you are going to really build some serious muscles with this pile of books every day." He just laughed and handed me half the books. Over the next 4 years, Kyle and I became best friends. When we were seniors, we began to think about college. Kyle decided on Georgetown, and I was going to Duke. I knew that we would always be friends, that the miles would never be a problem. He was going to be a doctor, and I was going for business on a football scholarship. Kyle was valedictorian of our class. I teased him all the time about being a nerd. We had to prepare a speech for graduation. I was so glad it wasn't me having to get up there and speak. Graduation day, I saw Kyle. He looked great. He was one of those guys that really found himself during high school. He filled out and actually looked good in glasses. He had more dates than me, and all the girls loved him. Boy, sometimes I was jealous. Today was one of those days. I could see that he was nervous about his speech, so I smacked him on the back and said, "Hey, big guy, you'll be great." He looked at me with one of those looks, the really grateful one, and smiled. "Thanks," he said. As he started his speech, he cleared his throat and began. "Graduation is a time to thank those who helped you make it through those tough years. Your parents, your teachers, your siblings, maybe a coach, but mostly your friends. I am here to tell all of you that being a friend to someone is the best gift you can give them. I'm going to tell you a story." I just looked at my friend with disbelief as he told the story of the first day we met. He had planned to kill himself over the weekend. He talked of how he had cleaned out his locker so his mom wouldn't have to do it later, and was carrying his stuff home. He looked hard at me and gave me a little smile. Thankfully, I was saved. My friend saved me from doing the unspeakable. I heard the gasp go through the crowd as this handsome, popular boy told us all about his weakest moment. I saw his mom and dad looking at me and smiling, that same grateful smile. Not until that moment did I realize its depth. Never underestimate the power of your actions. With one small gesture, you can change a person's life, for better or for worse. God puts us all in each other's lives to impact one another in some way. Look for God in others. Pretty neat story, isn't it? It reminds me of the scripture we just read, right? Binding and loosing. I'll close with that.